Right now, it is time for us to check sports, and it's time to bring in Mike Causey. I've been dying to do this all week. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
So, what is this fight that appears to be going on between Baffert and horse racing now? Are they out really to get him now? I mean, I read a couple of stories on it that the Kentucky Derby win might be taken away, and now Baffert's taking them to court. I mean, it's turned into an even uglier situation.
Well, he's not taking it laying down like most people do.
Yeah.
If you're accused of something, you have to be proved of, have to be proved guilty. Well, where's the evidence? Where's the guiltiness? Where's everything else? If indeed he's guilty of something, he should be removed from the Kentucky Derby victory and everything else. That's not happening. Going to the Belmont last week in the car, we had the discussion about it. All these jurisdictions are wrong. You can't tell somebody they can't participate for being guilty of something that they're not proven guilty of.
Well, yeah, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Well, that's not what Churchill Downs in New York's doing to him. They're banning him, period. Why? Where's the evidence? If there is evidence and he's proven guilty, then of course, but he's not. And people are saying, oh, well, he did it. Well, did they? I mean, you're in your car every day and you speed, folks. Are you guilty? No. Why? You didn't get a ticket. Well, Baffert has no ticket. And until he gets a ticket saying that he is guilty, he's innocent. And these jurisdictions have no right to ban him from racing. End of story. I mean, how could Churchill Downs in Belmont Park ban him, but he can run at Santa Anita and Monmouth Park, said you can come here anytime you want? I mean, come on. Where's the consistency of this? You can't say you can't run here, but you can run there. You either can run everywhere or you can run nowhere, and you can run everywhere until you're proven guilty. And Baffert is absolutely within his rights to do what he's doing.
All right, let's turn to the bright spots for if you're a New York fan. And that, how about the Islanders? Man, they just turned around and ended up crushing Boston in their series.
I told you these guys are good.
Yeah.
I told you these guys are good. They're in the finals, the Eastern Finals. I think it's the Eastern Finals still. I don't know what they call it anymore, against Tampa Bay. And a lot of my friends, again, were like, well, I don't know if they can beat Tampa. Why can't they beat Tampa? Look at how they went through Boston. I mean, they flipped that series right around. And the same thing with the Penguins. They got off to slow starts in both series, and then once they settled in, they took care of business real, real good. They won two games in Boston to force the hand to win Game 6 on the island, and it happened. They did the same thing to Pittsburgh. And like I said from the beginning of the year, the Islanders have a big shot to win the Stanley Cup this year, and I'm standing with it. I think they'll take care of business against Tampa. And on the other side, you got the Canadiens. They swept Winnipeg. So they basically won their last three games that they had to win in a must situation against Toronto, and then they swept Winnipeg. I think it'd be real cool to see Montreal play the Islanders in the final.
It would. It would be unbelievable. How long has it been since Montreal's been in the final?
Wow.
Yeah.
Many, many, many moons. Many moons since there's been a Canadian team in the final.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean a Montreal Canadiens. I mean a team from Canada.
And this is a team that's considered the New York Yankees of hockey.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, with all the history of it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like the Yankees, haven't won a championship in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. It's. But you know, for old timers like me, it's great to see teams like
growing
Minnesota.
Growing up, it was the Canadians every year.
Yeah,
they were, and whoever they played got walloped.
The major teams you followed, when even though I was a Ranger fan, and because I liked Ed Jonkeman, the major teams that you followed were Montreal and the big bad Boston Bruins, who had Bobby Orr, Phil Esposito. I mean, they were. It was just a different league back then.
Yeah, because coming out of the East, that's who the Rangers had to go through, and it was always, well, like you said, the Bruins are the Canadians, and if they beat one, the other one was waiting for you.
Yeah.
And they could never do it. I mean, they just weren't as good as those two teams, and it was always the Bruins and the Canadians. You know, if they played the Flyers or somebody or the Penguins, and the Rangers usually got through it.
But then the Islanders,
the Bruins and the Canadians were wars.
But then in the
70s, they'd win one, but never two.
But in the 70s, the Islanders broke through and really
the late 70s.
Yeah.
They didn't win their first cup until 1980.
But still, they had, what a stranglehold they had.
They were one of the best teams in history.
Yeah,
They were a tremendous team.
And I remember the Rangers had to get past the Islanders to go on that Stanley Cup season.
And then they couldn't get past the Islanders.
Yeah. Well,
the thing about the Islanders is they got Lou Lamoriello a couple years ago. And he was the architect that built all the great Devil teams. And he's doing the same thing on the island. And unlike the Devils, this team has a lot of offense. So the Islanders are a good team. I said it all year. They're a good team. It's a long season. You hit a little lull. Very rarely you get performances like the Canadians used to have when they only lost 10 games a year. That doesn't happen anymore. But the Islanders, I've said all year, they're one of the top teams in the league, and they're proven it correct. And like I said earlier, I think they'll get in the finals.
All right, NBA, the Nets fell to the Bucks, 86-83. They still lead that
86-83. When was the last time you seen a four-quarter game? I thought the lights went out or something. They had to stop the game.
Well,
86-83?
Here's to prove your point. In other games that were played recently, the Jazz beat the Clippers 112-109. The Suns beat the Nuggets 123-98. The Jazz beat the Clippers 117-111. I mean, you always have 100-some-odd points on the board for both teams.
Over 200 or 220 as a total, too.
Yeah, so 86-83. Old-time basketball, or else they were just missing shots.
Like I said, I thought the lights went out and they had to end the game.
All right, well, is there any racing this weekend?
Very little. I mean, there is racing going on, but like we do the stakes races, there's very, very, very few stakes, and the ones that exist aren't that good, so I only got one race for the weekend. At Churchill Downs, it's a night card tomorrow starting at 6 o'clock, so this race goes off a little after 10. It's the ninth race, the Monmouth 16th, the Mint Julep, a grade 3 on the turf. 11 line up for this race. The favorite is going to be the two-horse, Juliet Foxtrot. This horse has speed, sits just off the pace, doesn't win a lot. One last time without the Lasix in the Jenny Wiley on a yielding surface at Keeneland in a six-horse field. This horse will be an overwhelming favorite, but a couple of horses to look at. And again, you got the Lasix play in here, so you're gambling not only on the horse running, but running without Lasix. The three-horse, Hendy Woods, has the same kind of running pattern as Juliet Foxtrot and absolutely wins more at 6-1 with Giroux. This horse is a nice play stretching out. This horse is predominantly a miler, going to a mile and a 16th. Might be a little bit short, you never know in this race, but this is one option you can take. A real long shot, the four-horse Vespa. This is a daughter of Agnes Gold, who's offspring of Sunday Silence. This horse is very lightly raced, only ran three times all on the turf, been on the board all three with two wins out of the three. Two races coming in Uruguay, but this horse won at the end of April at the beginning of the Churchill meet real nicely, getting up by your nose with some late foot with Joe Tolomo up, and Tolomo's up again. 30-1 on this horse is a very, very attractive play. But in the race, I'm going to go with my inside horse, the one horse, Minted, trained by Brendan Walsh, who's winning at 24% for the meet. This horse came off the shelf to win the day before the Kentucky Derby in an optional claiming race, coming from 10 lengths off at ninth to win, going away by a length and a half at 3-1. This horse had a real interesting run through the stretch, weaving through horses to get up. So this horse is a very talented mare. 12-1 morning line with Santana, who's riding very well at the meet, is a very, very attractive play. So I'm going to drop the favorite in my number, Juliet Foxtrot, and I'm going to go with the one Minted, the three Hendy Woods, and the four Vespa to try to make a nice exacta in tomorrow's race that, like I said, goes off around 10 o'clock.
All right, I want to go back to the Islander game. You heard what happened at the beginning of the Islander game against the Bruins, right?
Yes, the national anthem.
The national anthem went off, and Islander fans, she continued singing even though there was no PA
no
system. But the Islander fans just went crazy and came in with incredible, listen. Now, it looks like everybody chimed in to help her in that situation, and some people say it gave even the Islanders a great boost in that game. So,
Yeah, it's funny how that is like an exception to the rule now, because that's what used to happen at games all the time.
Yeah. Remember the Philadelphia Flyers?
Kate Smith.
She's
banned from the world too, right? Yeah.
But they even bought her out to sing live in the playoff games.
And she was a lucky charm.
Yeah, she was
she
lucky.
She used to sing God Bless America.
God Bless America, yeah.
They used to wheel out Battleship Kate Smith instead of Battleship Kelly. And she used to sing the song, and down went the Rangers again.
Yes, exactly right. Oh, goodness gracious. There's some great things that can happen in sports. All right, Mike, I want you to have a good weekend.
You too, guys. Have a great weekend. Speak to you on Monday.
All right, take care. Mike Cossey with a check on sports this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.